Andy and Daggett took their time, making about 30 miles a day, sparing their horses and the little Mexican pack mule. Andy remembered the various counties, Mason, Kimball, San Saba, Lampasas. Working their way down from a hill into a broad valley, Andy saw a man on horseback, herding sheep toward a corral of cedar stakes tied so closely together that a rabbit might not wiggle through. A dog trotted alongside him, wagging its tail and acting as pleased with itself as if it were doing the whole job alone.
Just as well start introducing ourselves to the folks.
If we have to shoot any of them, knowing them might make it harder on your conscience.
I'm hoping we won't have to do that.
Sometimes you gotta shoot a few people before you can make things peaceful.
The dog felt a need to greet the two riders and the pack mule until its owner decided otherwise.
Hush, boy. That'll do.
The dog took a cautious stance behind the stockman's horse, poised to run away at its first perception of threat. Andy tried to present a pleasant smile.
Howdy. Are we on the right road to town?
The sheepman was middle-aged, his stomach flat as a slab of bacon. A black pipe extended beyond several days' growth of bristly gray whiskers. He considered a moment before he answered, carefully sizing up the visitors.
There are better ones, but this'll get you there.
I'm Andy Pickard. This here is Logan Daggett. We'll be glad to help you take the sheep the rest of the way in.
The dog and me, we've been doing it a long time. But you're welcome to ride along with us to the house. Stay the night if you're of a mind to.
That'd be kind of you.
My pleasure. We don't get much company out here. Most people regard me as a crazy old sheep herder and stay away. My name's August Hawkins.
Andy encountered many sheepmen in his travels. As a rule, he found them to be smarter than those who criticized them, and better off financially. Sheep tended to be more profitable than cattle. Hawkins' manner of speaking indicated he had an education.
I let them spread out to graze in the daytime, but I pen them in at night. There are lots of four-legged varmints around here.
What about the two-legged ones?
No, they'd rather steal cattle than horses. Sheep move too slowly. They can get a thief caught.
Hawkins stared at Andy, then at Daggett.
I'm trying to decide whether you two are laws or outlaws. Sometimes the difference is hard to see.
We're rangers. We've been told there's trouble in this part of the country.
Well, I stay out here with my sheep. I try to keep far away from trouble that doesn't concern me.
It was the same eyes-averted attitude Andy observed in the Llano River thickets.
Well, anything you might tell us wouldn't go any farther than me and Daggett.
I won't even go that far. I have nothing to tell you.
A ewe strayed from the others, nibbling at low weeds. The dog paid no attention until the sheepman pointed a finger.
Dog! Wake up and go bring her back!
The dog sprinted out and nipped at the ewe. She ran to the others, not stopping until she plunged into the middle of the flock.
Hasn't the dog got a name?
If I called him what he deserves, he'd probably bite me.
At the whistle, the dog ran back to its place at Hawkins' side.
Hope you don't mind goat meat for supper.
Goat?
Oh, I don't eat my sheep. I keep them for the wool. A goat tastes quite good when it's prepared properly. My little old wife knows a dozen ways to cook it.
Sounds fine.
The sheepman turned to Daggett.
Well, so far you haven't said a word.
The comment caught Daggett off guard.
Well, all I know I learned by listening while others talked.
The corral gate was open. The sheep knew the routine, filing through it in good order. Several lambs spooked at the shadow of the gate's crossbar and leaped over it. Andy dismounted to close the gate, built solid so no predator could work its way through. Hawkins pointed to another pen.
You can turn your horses and the mule loose in there with mine. I'll fork out some hay.
A milk cow stood outside another pen, her calf eagerly awaiting her on the inside.
I'll milk first, then we'll have supper.
He led them to a log cabin. Smoke rose from its chimney, and Andy caught the pleasant aroma of freshly baked bread.
Does either of you speak Spanish? My wife, Serafina, doesn't know much English.
Andy had a smattering of it, though not enough for a deep discussion about philosophy.
I only know manos arriba and adios. Hands up and goodbye.
Buenos dias. Buenos dias. Welcome.
Mrs. Hawkins was a busy, dark-faced little woman who might not weigh 100 pounds. She smiled as she placed the fresh food on the table.
I hired her after my first wife died. Well, she was a widow woman, washing clothes and cleaning other people's houses. It didn't look right, her living out here with me, so I married her. After all, I'm a church-going man. I'll go every month or two.
Any children?
Grown and gone in 4 different directions. I have grandchildren I never seen and likely never will. So it's just Serafina and me, the dog and the sheep, and this little piece of land.
After the meal, the three men sat on the porch, enjoying the cool of early evening. Hawkins puffed on the old black pipe.
Well, I suppose Sheriff Seymour sent for you. I'm surprised he'd ask for a ranger's help.
Well, he didn't. We got a letter from somebody who didn't sign his name.
Didn't sign? Well, that's not surprising. Pete Seymour has a bull by the tail, and that job has made him touchy as an old bear. You'll need to handle him gently.
Andy glanced at Daggett before speaking.
We try to handle everybody gently.
Got quiet around here for a while, but things have commenced happening again. The man was murdered last week.
Andy straightened in his chair.
We didn't know about that.
A rancher by the name of Callender. Somebody ambushed him in the door of his barn.
Any idea why?
Just a suspicion. He might have known something that somebody was afraid he'd tell.
Sounds to me like the work of a mob.
Yeah, around here they're known as regulators.
Andy watched the tobacco glow as the sheepman paused to take a couple of draws on his pipe.
To begin with, we have old family enmities that should have been resolved long ago. On top of that, we're up against changing times. And new people come into the country, crowding the ones already here, but I stay out of it. I bought my place free and clear, but much of the land hereabouts still belongs to the state. Anyone can use it if he has the nerve to take and hold it.
Things will be a lot more peaceful when the land is all bought up. And there'll be legal property lines.
But folks will start putting up wire fences and there won't be open land anymore.
That thought appeared to depress Daggett.
I plan to put a fence around mine. Already have the wire and posts ordered. It'll keep other people's cattle out and leave more grass for my sheep.
You may have to fight over it. I've seen it happen up in the panhandle.
Well, the land belongs to me, free and clear. No one else has any say-so.
Daggett shook his head.
If one owner fences his land, others will follow. Then the free range will be gone. You'd best test the temper of your neighbors before you dig that first post hole.
Well, I've always gone out of my way to avoid a fight ever since back in the 60s when I was dragged into a war that was none of my doing.
Daggett leaned forward.
If I was you, I'd wait and let the big operators put up their fences first. If there's to be fighting, you let them do it. In the long run, they always win, and you'll get a free ride.
Oh, I never asked for a free ride during the war. Were you in that fight, Daggett?
I was. I learned when to stick my head up and when to keep it down. I took other people's mistakes to heart and tried not to make the same ones myself.
Hawkins' pipe had gone out. He tapped it against a post and knocked the ashes from it, then refilled with tobacco.
I understand what you're saying, but I won't be letting others tell me what I can do on my own land. It's part of what that war was all about.
The Confederacy lost.
Hawkins smiled, a ring of tobacco smoke encircling his face.
What makes you think I was a Confederate?
Two horsemen appeared from a row of brush to the east. One wore a long beard, gray except for a few dark strands. The other was like a younger version without the whiskers. Andy guessed they were father and son. Hawkins stood up when the two were within hailing distance.
Welcome, Mr. McIntosh. Howdy, Jake. Traveling late, aren't you?
The old man reined up and slowly, stiffly dismounted.
Me and my boy, we've been out talking to the neighbors.
He stretched, flinching from arthritis pain.
These horses trot rougher than they used to. Must be some slippage in their breeding.
The younger man left the saddle with an easy grace and no sign of pain. The father gave him a look of envy.
Mr. McIntosh, Jake, this is Andy Pickard and Logan Daggett. They joined us for dinner on their way to town.
Hawkins chose not to mention they were rangers. McIntosh acknowledged them without much interest, then turned to Hawkins.
Had any trouble with old man Teal or his boys?
Hawkins looked surprised.
Trouble? No. Well, they came by here with a small herd one day and asked if they could water them in my creek. I told them to go ahead. Creek bed belongs to me, but the Lord puts the water in it.
They could have watered anywhere up or down the creek. Why do you suppose they picked your place?
Hawkins shook his head.
It was handy, I guess. Never gave it much thought.
They were testing you. They were trying to see how far you'd let them go. Next time, they won't stop with water. They'll be turning cattle loose on you. I heard talk in town that they've got a herd coming up from the brush country. They'll need to put them someplace.
I've never had any trouble with the Teals. I've left them alone, and they haven't bothered me.
I've known Harper Teal for years. He's an evil, greedy old man. Always was. And he's raised them boys in his own likeness. They'd steal the shroud off a dead man.
They've never bothered me.
Not yet, maybe. But mind what I've told you. All us neighbors have to stick together. First sign of trouble, you come to us. Me and my boys will throw in with you.
Thanks for the offer, but if any trouble comes, I'll go to the sheriff.
Pete Seymour. He couldn't even protect a prisoner in his own jail.
Ugh. McIntosh remounted even more slowly than he got down.
I rode too many mean broncs when I was Jake's age and wrestled too many snuffy cattle. Now they come back to haunt me. Be glad you're a sheep man, Hawkins. They don't fight you.
I have scars all over my back from the rams that knocked me down and ran over me.
Andy watched the two men ride away.
Sounds like that letter writer knew what he was talking about.
Old man McIntosh has a wrong notion about the Teals. They're red-headed and bound together with barbed wire and rawhide, but they never given me any reason to be afraid of them.
Maybe they're fixing to.
That's all in old man McIntosh's mind. He and Harper Teal have hated each other so long they probably don't even remember what started it.
Well, once we get the lay of the land, we may have to knock some heads together.
What did he mean, that the sheriff couldn't protect a prisoner?
Well, a year or so ago, Pete caught the leader of a ring of horse and cattle thieves. Some masked men forced their way into the jail and shot him in his cell. Caused a considerable ruckus, but it slowed down the thievery for a while. It started up again lately.
Mm-hmm. There's times when some vigilantes can help move the law along.
The prisoner was old Harper Teal's son-in-law.
The Teals are part of the ring?
Well, I never wanted to believe that. I like them, in spite of their rough edges. And that Teal girl, it was hard to understand her marrying somebody like Vincent Skeen in the first place. But she was a country girl and hadn't seen much of the world. I guess his good looks and smooth talk got the best of her.
Do you figure the McIntoshes shot him?
Stands to reason. They, some of their friends and kin. Skeen was a snake, and nobody blamed him much. Pete didn't break his back trying to arrest anybody.
Hawkins arose.
Well, would you like a drink to settle your supper?
Next morning, after spending the night in Hawkins' barn, Andy and Daggett followed the road to town.
Hawkins seems like a good old man.
Yeah, he ain't much older than I am. Anyway, the best old man I ever knew took a shot at me once. I ain't trusted a good old man since.
Before Andy could shout, a brindle bull burst out of the scrub timber at a hard run, smashed into Daggett's horse. Daggett's wounded leg was pinned beneath the struggling horse. The bull shook itself and went running off down the trail. A horseman broke from the brush, a rope in his hand. He pulled hard on the reins as he saw Daggett on the ground. He took a quick look at the fleeing bull, then swung from the saddle. Daggett's horse was thrashing about, trying to regain its feet. The stranger grabbed it about the neck and took a firm hold on its head.
Whoa, now. Be still.
The stranger looked at Daggett.
Can you wiggle out from under him before I let him up?
Daggett grimaced.
Oh, see if you can raise her just a little more.
The stranger managed to do it, and Daggett crawled backward until his leg was free. He tried to push to his feet, but fell. Andy, on the ground now, caught him under the arms and dragged him far enough that the horse wouldn't step on him in its struggle to get up.
Hope that leg's not broke.
Oh, you hope. It's not yours, it's mine. Damn it.
He bent forward and carefully fell to the leg, starting above the knee and working down.
Ah, I think it's still in one piece.
Blood seeped from a long tear in the pants leg.
Busted that bullet wound open again just when I thought I was about to be shed of it.
With his pocket knife, Andy ripped the pants leg open to get a better look.
That was a good pair of pants.
You can buy another pair and bill it as groceries.
Even the most honest of rangers might use such a subterfuge to get around the state's penny pinchers. The stranger knelt beside Daggett and examined the reopened hole in his leg.
Got any whiskey with you?
State don't pay for whiskey.
We better bind the leg up tight right away and stop the bleeding.
He took out a pocket knife and cut off part of Daggett's pants leg. He used it for wrapping. The first thing Andy noticed about the stranger was his size. Probably 30-something, he was as large as Daggett, all muscle and bone. His hair was a rusty red, his jaw square, and the mouth broad. A scar on his left cheek showed through several days' growth of reddish whiskers. Andy would have to rate him as one of the least handsome men he'd seen in a while. Not quite ugly, perhaps, but close enough to it.
I didn't mean to run that bull over you. I didn't even know you was there. I've been trying for a month to get a loop over that old rascal's horns.
Andy wondered if the stranger's horse was stout enough to handle the bull's weight on the opposite end of a rope, especially if the animal was on the fight.
I was going to throw him down and turn him into a steer. We were ashamed to put the family brand on the sorry calves he sires.
What family is that?
The Teals. I'm Bud Teal.
Andy remembered the name. Ethan McIntosh had had much to say about the Teals. None of it good.
I'm Andy Pickard. This here is Logan Daggett.
Seems like I've heard the name Daggett. Ranger, ain't you?
Yeah, almost ever since I was weaned.
Teal examined Daggett's horse, feeling of its legs, running his hand along the chest, then the flanks.
Well, he don't seem to be hurting none, just a little spooked. Let's get you on your feet. Make sure you're able to stand.
I can stand, and I can walk, and I can even ride if you and Pickard will give me a lift up.
I'll take you to our house. We'll get that wound clean and wrapped proper. Wouldn't want you to have blood poison on account of me and that sorry bull.
Andy had mixed feelings about accepting Teal's offer. It was generous, and Daggett's injury did need attention. On the other hand, if the Teals turned out to be antagonists here, as McIntosh charged, any favors accepted now might compromise the Rangers later. Teal didn't give Andy long to consider the dilemma. He helped Daggett into the saddle.
How far to the house?
Just a hop, skip, and a jump. It's closer than town.
Andy decided there might be some advantage in gaining knowledge about the Teals on their home ground. He'd give the McIntoshes a look-see later. The frightened pack mule had run 50 yards before stopping. Andy brought it back. He gave Daggett a quick study.
You sure you're up to riding?
I don't see any choice. I can't stay here like this.
You're turning as white as milk.
Daggett held his right leg straight, the foot out of the stirrup. He was suffering from shock, Andy realized. Shock could knock the legs out from under the strongest of men. Teal gave Daggett a look of concern.
Sooner we start, sooner we get there.
He set out in the lead. Daggett rode in one wheel rut. Andy stayed even with him in the other, ready to lend a hand if he started to fall from the saddle. But Daggett seemed determined not to show weakness. He stubbornly sat straight and kept a firm hold on the reins, his jaw rigid. He avoided touching the horn, which might be taken as a sign of vulnerability. Teal looked back with concern from time to time.
You Rangers just passing through the country?
Well, we haven't decided.
Did Ethan McIntosh ask for you?
What makes you say that?
We've been expecting him to do some such of a thing.
We were on our way to consult with the sheriff.
Pete Seymour? He ought to be running a ranch instead of wearing a badge. His boots ain't big enough anymore for the job he's got.
How so?
He's getting old, and he can't see very good. He ain't made a move against the McIntoshes. Been a killing lately that nobody's answered for. Been a few fistfights over one thing and another, and a drunken shooting scrape where nobody got hurt. You can bet that if worse trouble comes, you won't need to look any farther than the McIntosh bunch.
Andy noted that Teal was saying essentially the same thing about the McIntoshes that Ethan McIntosh said about the Teals.
We heard that a mob murdered your brother-in-law while he was in jail.
In our family, we don't talk about him anymore. It wasn't no Teal.
Teal moved ahead, making it clear the subject was closed. Andy hadn't seen many signs of real prosperity in these hills, and he found few at the Teals' ranch headquarters. The main house was of rough timber, not painted. A log bunkhouse stood off to one side. The barns were built in much the same way. The corrals were of tied-together posts, set upright, their bases sunk in the ground. Most of the structures were of natural materials taken close at hand. Only the main house appeared to represent a cash investment, and even it was short of ornamentation. Andy saw no gingerbread trim.
Well, this looks pretty much like the kind of place Bethel and I would build when I leave the Rangers and we set up life running stock. Yep, it'll be spare, at least in the beginning, but it'll be ours.
Teal led them directly to the frame house. Dismounting, Bud tied his horse to a post and turned to help Andy lift Daggett down from the saddle.
My sister wasn't much at picking a husband, but she's pretty good at fixing up folks hurt handling wild cattle and rough horses. Not to say that our horses are really bad. You'd just best not go to sleep in the saddle. I'll wake you up.
The house had a generous porch that helped offset its overall plainness. Andy and Teal helped Daggett to a porch chair.
Let's set him in that rocking chair out here. In case there's any leakage, I expect Carrie would rather it wasn't in the house.
Who's Carrie?
My sister. She was named Carolina after the state where her mother come from. Everybody just calls her Carrie. None of us has ever been to Carolina.
Andy wondered if Teal's sister would look anything like him. Whatever Bud Teal inherited from his forebears, good looks were not among them. Blood had soaked through the rough binding, but it appeared dry. The bleeding had stopped. Andy remained on the porch with Daggett while Bud went inside.
Carrie! Carrie!
What is it, Bud?
Got an injured man out here. An old bull knocked him off his horse. It opened up an old wound. He needs some help.
Shortly, Andy saw the dark outline of a woman coming down a hallway that divided the house into two segments. Her stride was firm and determined. She came out onto the porch, a tallish woman of 30 or so, slender to the point of being skinny. She held a bottle in one hand, a bundle of white cloth in the other. She stared a moment at Andy.
It's the fella in the chair. The big fella's the one that's hurt.
Her appearance took Andy by surprise. He had expected her to be plain, even homely, like her brother. Instead, her features were pleasant. Her large eyes, the dark brown of coffee beans. Her hair bore a tint of red. In a country where men outnumbered women by a considerable margin, Andy wondered why somebody hadn't put an end to her widowhood. Shaking her head in reproach, she untied the cut-off pants leg Bud had wrapped around the wound.
Bud, was this the best thing you could find?
Oh, in a pinch, you use what you've got.
This looks like an old gunshot wound.
Daggett didn't reply.
It is. It just got busted open again.
She poured a cloudy-looking liquid from the bottle directly into the wound.
I'll give you one thing. Most men would holler to high heaven.
She glanced at her brother.
Bud did. The last time I used this stuff on him.
I didn't either.
Tears came into Daggett's eyes. He turned his head and quickly blinked them away. The woman cleaned the wound with a piece of cloth, then bound his leg.
This is going to be awful sore. You won't be chasing any bulls for a few days.
I wasn't chasing this one. I was trying to get out of his way.
These two men are rangers.
Her eyebrows raised a little.
Only two of you? I thought you traveled in bunches.
Only when the trouble's big enough. We don't know yet how big it is here.
I'll bet old man McIntosh sent for you.
Somebody wrote us a letter but forgot to sign his name. We were on our way to see the sheriff.
The sheriff? Pete Seymour can't find his butt with both hands and a lantern.
Pete's all right. It's just that people are pulling at him from all sides. And he's getting a little old.
He wasn't much help when we needed him.
He never claimed to be no Pinkerton detective.
No, and he's sure as hell not.
She picked up the bottle of disinfectant and started for the door. Then stopped.
You all are staying for supper.
We wouldn't want to put you in any trouble.
She nodded toward Daggett.
You already have. A little more won't make any difference.
She was halfway through the door when she stopped again.
In case you wonder about it, any beef you eat at our table is our own.
Andy was taken aback by her attitude. He stared after her until she disappeared into the back of the house.
Did we say anything to make her believe we thought otherwise?
No, but lots of people have. She gets touchy as hell about it. Feels like everybody is against us.
Well, are they?
Well, some, like the McIntoshes and them that follow old man Ethan and his boys. But we got friends, too. Sometimes our side wins the elections. Sometimes the McIntosh side does. It makes a difference who sets the taxes.
Well, tax rates are supposed to be the same for everybody.
Depends on who counts the cattle. Some counts ours twice, but can't find half of the McIntoshes.
So, it comes down to money, as most quarrels do.
He saw a movement at the barn. Five horsemen rode into a corral and dismounted.
Pa and the boys. They've been riding the line, keeping our cattle pushed back onto our own ground.
If it's state land, what difference does it make?
We're taxpayers. What belongs to the state belongs to us. Ain't that right?
Well, that's one way to look at it. But anyone who wants to squat on state land could make the same argument.
That point of view left much room for disagreement and ultimately violence. Andy found it easy to pick out the Teals. The father and the other two sons bore a close resemblance to Bud. They were sturdy, muscular men whose confident stride bespoke a certainty that they could whoop the world. And like Bud, they were some of the homeliest men Andy had ever seen. The son's hair was a darkish red, the father's a mix of red and gray. The older man spat a stream of tobacco juice, then wiped his mouth on his sleeve. His beard was streaked with dark stains. He gave his full attention to Andy and Daggett. Andy saw no welcome in his eyes. Stopping just short of the porch, Harper Teal looked at the fresh bandage on Daggett's leg.
Who shot you?
The old brindle bull ran over him.
That bull's a stray. He don't belong to us. We got no obligation.
I feel like we do what happened on our place.
The older man's eyes were sharp with criticism.
But I told you to get rid of that beast.
I was right on his tail when he ran into this ranger. I had to stop and help, so the bull got away.
Ranger or not, you ought never to leave a job half done.
Teal's gaze cut back to Daggett.
If you're nosing around for a payoff like most of the badge toters I ever knew, you ain't finding it here.
Teal's rough manner stirred Andy to defensive anger.
We don't take bribes. We'll even pay for your daughter wrapping his leg if you figure we owe you.
Keep your money in your pocket. Us Teals don't take payment for small favors. And any favors we do for a ranger are gonna be small ones.
Daggett angrily jerked his head at Andy.
Let's be going. We've been here too long already.
You're not in shape to ride.
Yeah, well, if I can't ride, I'll walk. And if I can't walk, I'll crawl.
Bud moved between his father and Daggett.
No use in you all leaving here mad. Pa talks rough, but he don't mean half of it. You all stay for supper, at least. Maybe you'll feel better after you've eaten.
He's talking sense. We'll stay for supper.
Daggett flinched in response to a surge of pain.
As long as you all don't expect any special favors. If we find you breaking the law, we'll treat you the same as everybody else.
The only laws we ever broke were those we disagreed with.
Yeah, well, I don't agree with all of them myself.
The older man's bushy eyebrows were still mostly red. They nearly joined in a frown.
But you invited him, so you look after him. I don't remember a time that the law ever brought me good news.
Harper started into the house, then stopped.
Women folk. Gotta keep the house clean. Wipe your feet.
He wiped his feet on a sack lying by the door and entered the house.
These are my brothers, Cecil and Lanny.
Their attitude was much like their father's. They nodded, but didn't offer to shake hands.
Daggett, you can't go around wearing pants with one leg cut off. I'll find an extra pair for you.
I'll pay you for them.
Bud turned to Andy.
I'm trying to act civil. What's the matter with him?
Andy started to say, but didn't.
He's thinking he might have to shoot you someday.
Carrie Teal watched with silent criticism as Daggett limped to the supper table.
We've got a set of crutches. Lord knows that with bad horses and salty cattle, we've needed them.
Yeah, but I'm not crippled. I feel like a fool trying to manipulate a set of crutches.
He can lend you a cane if it won't hurt your pride too much.
I'll get by.
Nobody's gonna beg you, even if it is for your own good.
The elder Teal pulled out a chair at the head of the long table and unceremoniously seated himself. He reached with a fork to spear a biscuit.
He's been weaned long enough to make up his own mind. Don't you get enough girl bossing this family around? Have you got to boss strangers, too?
I worked hard to fix his leg. I don't want him to waste all that effort like some stubborn schoolboy.
Daggett was no schoolboy. He was 40 if he was a day. Stubborn, though. Andy had seen that from the first.
There's a time for talking and a time for eating. Right now, I want to eat.
His plate was heaped with beef and beans. He dug into it as if he had a hollow leg to fill. His sons and the two cowboys followed his lead. Carrie took a seat at the foot of the table, getting up once to bring the coffee pot and refill the men's cups.
Thank you kindly, ma'am.
Much obliged, ma'am.
Why, you're welcome.
She seemed a little surprised by the show of manners. She probably wasn't used to seeing any. Daggett picked over his food, taking a few bites without enthusiasm. His glazed eyes indicated he was running a fever.
You need to eat something and build up your strength.
Yeah, maybe I could if this beef came from the bull that ran over me.
I'll bring that old brindle down with a rifle if I have to. We've got no grass to spare for the likes of him.
You'd ought to have gone ahead and done it today. Wouldn't have hurt this ranger to have laid there a while till you finished your job. On account of that bull, we got these two sitting here at our table like invited company.
We will be gone in the morning. In fact...
He pushed himself to his feet, leaning heavily on the table.
We're going right now. Come on, Pickard.
Andy did not arise.
You'd better sit back down before you fall.
Daggett limped heavily toward the door, each step painful.
That leg will hurt like hell if you try to ride.
It already hurts like hell. Come on!
Andy, Carrie, and Bud caught up to Daggett on the porch.
Hold up a minute. If you abuse that leg, you could lose it.
Pa's like an old dog with a loud growl but no teeth. I feel responsible for what happened to you.
Daggett wavered. The leg was giving him a lot of pain.
These folks are talking sense.
Daggett faced toward the barn where his and Andy's horses were enjoying some grain. It looked a mile away. He turned back to Carrie and Bud.
Well, since you asked so nicely, we'll stay.
You'll like the bunkhouse. We got plenty of room, and you won't have to listen to Pa rave. He sleeps here.
I'll fetch you that cane. Maybe it'll keep you from spoiling my work.
I didn't intend to fly off the handle like that. I reckon it's because this thing hurts so damn bad.
Carrie brought a cane and watched as Daggett took a couple of awkward steps trying to get a feel for it. He and Andy fell in behind Bud on the way to the bunkhouse.
Bud, if he needs anything, you come and get it. He ought not to walk any more than he has to.
Last thing I wanted was to get us beholden to one side or the other.
I saw that bull in time to dodge him. Why didn't you?
You saying I need glasses, Pickard?
When are you going to start calling me Andy?
When you stop being a pain in the ass.
Bud pointed to two empty steel cots.
Sorry we've got no corn chuck mattresses, but it's better than laying on the ground.
Yeah, I'll bring in our bedding.
Daggett sat and straightened his hurt leg and looked at Bud.
I appreciate what you folks have done for me. But we can't play favorites. When it comes to duty, a ranger has got no friends.
We ask for no favors, and we damn seldom get any.
The two other Teal brothers and the two cowboys drifted down to the bunkhouse after a while. Away from the old man, they spoke civilly enough to Andy and Daggett.
Leg feeling any better?
If so, I can't tell it.
I'll bring you that bull's ears. And get Carrie to fix you up some prairie oysters.
Lanny was the youngest of the brothers. He resembled the others in the roughness of his features, though the freshness of youth had not yet deserted him. His brother Cecil couldn't help picking at him.
If I read the calendar right, tomorrow's Saturday. There'll be a dance in town. You figure on going in to spite the storekeeper's daughter?
An uncomfortable Lanny looked at his shoes.
Maybe. I ain't thought about it yet.
You ain't thought of nothing else for days. You know, Jake McIntosh is after her, too. You better watch that he don't beat your time.
Lanny's face reddened.
Cecil, don't badger your little brother. He's of age to go courting if he's of a mind to.
I'm just trying to help him see after his interests. This country ain't overrun with good-looking gals like Lucy.
Good looks don't guarantee what's inside.
Are you saying Lucy's not a good girl?
I don't hardly know her. I'm just saying you need to look farther than her blue eyes. You remember that pretty bay colt of mine? Now, he had the roughest trot of any horse I ever rode. Kept my innards aching all the time. Passing him off to that horse trader was one of the smartest things I ever did.
Lucy's the nicest girl I know.
How many girls have you known?
I'm no green kid. I've been to town.
You came home all bruised up the last time. Some of them town boys don't like to see Teals courting their girls.
I whipped two of them. I'd have been all right if a third one hadn't piled on.
There'll always be a third one, little brother. We're outnumbered every time. They're liable to waylay you on your way to town.
Andy thought all the Teal brothers looked as if they could handle themselves well in a fight. They had the tight muscles and calloused big-knuckled hands that came from hard work.
Maybe I'll be able to ride by tomorrow. He can go along with me and Pickard.
Andy lay on his cot, listening.
It'll be just me. I'll be going in to talk to the sheriff. You'll stay here and try to heal up.
You are forgetting that I outrank you, so you can't tell me what to do. I'll be ready by tomorrow.
He held his leg straight, resting it over the edge of the cot. The pain in his face indicated that he wouldn't be on horseback for at least 2 or 3 days.
That leg'll tell you. I won't have to.
What will folks think, seeing a ranger bodyguarding me?
Well, they think you're the smartest man in town.
Damnation.
Daggett arose next morning in a bad temper. His stomach was angry because the aching wound hadn't allowed him much sleep. Andy hadn't slept much either, listening to Daggett tossing much of the night. Daggett swung his legs off the side of the cot, then gingerly pushed to his feet. He reached for the cane and hobbled about the bunkhouse, testing the sore leg.
Oh, it's damn near healed.
You can't hardly walk, much less ride. I'll have to work alone if you fiddle around and cripple yourself.
Daggett glanced about, making sure no one but Andy could hear.
Now, how's it gonna look me stand here with the people who may be the cause of the trouble?
How better to keep a watch on him?
You may have a point.
Carrie stepped out onto the porch and beat an iron rod against a steel ring, signaling breakfast.
I'll bring you some breakfast so you won't have to walk on that leg.
Nobody's ever had to fetch and carry for me. I'll go for myself.
Andy knew it was useless to argue. He walked slowly to keep from outpacing Daggett. The older ranger hobbled toward the main house, stopping three times to catch his breath and let the throbbing subside. A less determined man would have given up, Andy thought. Bud Teal walked beside them.
Daggett, you're the stubbornest man I ever saw, except maybe for Pa. If you and him ever seriously butted heads, it'd be like two bulls trying to knock each other's brains out.
Andy wanted to help Daggett up the steps, but he knew he would be rebuffed in the sternest terms. Watching the ranger struggle, Andy imagined he shared the pain.
Is the leg any better?
Hardly feel it at all.
Her expression told Andy that she knew the truth.
We'll take a look at it after breakfast and wrap it fresh.
Well, you got no call to be concerned about me. You never even saw me till yesterday.
She's a nurse at heart. Dogs, calves, stray cats. She takes care of them all.
I sure ain't no calf.
The kitchen offered the pleasant aroma of coffee, freshly baked biscuits, and fried bacon. Steam arose from a large platter of scrambled eggs on the table. Old Harper Teal was already seated in his accustomed place and eating.
Hurry up, boys. We're wasting daylight. We got work to do.
He gave Daggett a swift appraisal.
I see you're on your feet. I expect you'll be wanting to go.
He can't ride. I'm leaving him here for a couple of days.
The old man did not appear pleased.
We all agreed that it would be the best thing.
I didn't agree. Man, I reckon we can put up with him. Just don't let him get in the way of the work.
Harper Teal cut his gaze to Andy.
You're leaving, are you?
He'll be riding in with Lanny. Maybe that'll keep the town boys from jumping all over baby brother.
The old man arched his red eyebrows and glared at his youngest son.
What are you going to town for? You need to stay here and tend to business.
It's Saturday, Pa.
Saturday? Sunday? One's like another. They're all working days around here.
Lanny's face reddened.
I promised Lucy I'd take her to the dance tonight.
Who the hell is Lucy?
She's a nice girl in town. The storekeeper's daughter. You've seen her.
Never did pay attention to town girls. They're spoiled, natto-brained, flatty as a bunch of heifer yearlings. Country girls are the best. They know how to work.
Besides, I need some groceries. Lanny's going to bring them home.
The surprise in Lanny's face indicated that this was news to him, but he nodded agreement.
I'll be taking the wagon.
All right. Don't come home all hungover. You'll have work to do tomorrow.
Tomorrow's Sunday.
Kids. I don't none of them want to work anymore. The whole world's gone plumb to hell. Ugh. Rescue boys, get up from there. Get your horses saddled. Morning's half gone already.
He stomped out the door. Carrie watched him with a thin smile.
Finish your breakfast, all of you. He'll holler whether you hurry or not.
Thanks for breakfast.
Daggett left half of his breakfast uneaten. Leaning heavily on the cane, he went out onto the porch and sat on a bench, gingerly rubbing his leg. Carrie watched him through the kitchen window, then turned to Andy, still seated at the table.
Strange man. Doesn't talk much, does he?
I don't know much more about him now than I did when I met him.
I get the feeling that a lot goes on behind his eyes, but they're like a window blind. You can't see through them.
Might be better not to.
I couldn't see past my husband's eyes either. I wished I had when it was too late.
She turned away and busied herself with the dishpan on the cabinet. Andy tried what was left of his coffee, but it was cold.
I heard what happened. I'm sorry.
He had his faults, but that was a miserable way for a man to die.
Yes, ma'am.
Odd. Your Mr. Daggett took me by surprise the first time I saw him. He looks a little like Vincent. Same size and build. The eyes are different, though. There's a wildness in them, but there's sadness, too. Vincent's eyes were just wild.
He told me he had a wife once. He doesn't anymore.
That might account for the sadness. Do you know what happened to her?
Oh, he hasn't said. and I'd rather get run over by that bull than to ask him.
It's none of our business anyway.
Andy guessed that she would give a lot to know.
He may not tell you so, but he appreciates what you did for him.
He could say that himself. He doesn't need you to do his talking for him.
And that's his way.
Hard-headed. He'd fit right in with the Teal family.
Lanny Teal eagerly worked on a second helping of breakfast.
Better hurry it up if you plan to ride to town with me.
Lanny'll be ready. He's been dreaming about that girl all night.
I don't see where I need a ranger to protect me.
You need a guardian angel, but angels are scarce in this part of the country.
Gary took cloth, scissors, and antiseptic and stepped out onto the porch where Daggett sat.
Let's take a look at that leg.
I told you it's all right.
He moved the leg and grimaced.
But, if you really want to.
The wound was swollen and angry around the edges. She washed it clean, then applied antiseptic. Daggett tensed until the burning subsided.
Oh. What is that stuff? It feels like a white-hot branding iron.
If it didn't burn, it wouldn't do you any good.
She bound the leg with fresh white cloth.
That's the best I can do.
I don't reckon a town doctor could do any better.
His face furrowed as if he dreaded what he had to say.
Look, I'm sorry I've acted like a sore-footed badger. I'm not used to people making a fuss over me.
We didn't exactly throw roses in your path, either. We Teals have been put upon by so many people for so long that we sometimes bristle up for no good reason. Whenever something bad happens, they decide right off that the Teals are responsible.
Are they?
Now and then.
Andy saddled his horse. Lanny, wearing a clean shirt and a bow tie, drove the wagon to the front of the house. Carrie stood on the porch, watching. Lanny started to pull away.
Don't lose my list! We're almost out of coffee and flour.
Andy touched fingers to the brim of his hat.
Thanks for both of us, man. Me and Daggett.
Riding toward town, Andy kept thinking about Carrie. He pulled in close to Lanny.
It's kind of your sister to look after Daggett like she has.
Lanny shrugged his broad shoulders.
She feels obliged, I guess.
Just the same, it's kind.
Andy rode in silence a while, then ventured a thought.
She never said much about her husband.
He's dead and buried. There's nothing to say.
It must have been tough on her.
She's strong. She got over it.
Lanny looked back over his shoulder as if he feared someone would overhear.
Son of a bitch was a thief and a wife beater.
Andy took a chance.
Well, then you ought to be grateful to the McIntoshes for taking care of him.
I reckon.
The somber look on his face said he didn't want to talk about it. Nearing town, they passed two young horsemen who gave Lanny a hostile study but made no move against him. Andy waited until they were out of hearing.
They looked like they didn't mean you any good. They might have jumped you if you'd been by yourself.
I can whip two of them at a time, and they know it. I done it before without any help.
So I heard.
When we get to town, I want you to go your way and I'll go mine. I don't want them ginks thinking I need ranger protection.
If you decide different, I'll try to be easy to find.
In Andy's estimation, the town didn't amount to much. The biggest thing was the courthouse, with an outsized clock tower that seemed too pretentious for its setting. He counted three modest church steeples and half a dozen saloons or dram shops.
That's 2-1 in favor of whiskey over religion.
At least the Lord's got a toehold.
Lanny hauled up on the reins, stopping the wagon in front of a general store.
Here's where I get Carrie's groceries.
You sure you'll be all right by yourself?
Sure. I'd have come by myself if Buddy kept his mouth shut. Him and Carrie both.
They're just worried about you. You're their little brother.
I'm as big as any of them.
And about as stubborn.
Pete Seymour, the sheriff, was middle-aged and trail-worn, his hair graying, his waist broadening. He wore black-rimmed glasses with thick lenses that made his eyes look larger than they were. He appeared annoyed when Andy walked into his office and introduced himself. He turned to a tall, lanky young man.
Salty, I didn't send for any rangers, did you?
Salty Willis was slight of build and wore clothes a size too large for him, giving him a rumpled look. Andy would have taken him for a cowboy if he'd not seen the deputy's badge.
Never would have thought about it.
If I had, I'd have asked for a whole company. I don't see where one will help much.
Well, there's one other. He had a run-in with a bull near the Teal place. He's resting up there for a few days. Even two's enough to make the bookkeepers holler. They'd like to disband the whole ranger service and save the money.
Salty, you better go see Mason Gaines about that missing horse. I never knew a man with so damn much to complain about.
He waited for the deputy to leave.
I wish you hadn't ridden in with that Teal boy.
Well, Lanny was coming to town anyway. I thought it might prevent a fight if I rode along with him.
It could be bad business, looking like you've lined up with one side against the other.
That was my partner's concern, too. I made it clear that we won't play favorites.
The sheriff took off his glasses and squinted at them, then put them back on. They needed cleaning.
You know, I hate these damn things, but it's getting to where I can't see nothing without them. It's hell to get old.
His eyes narrowed.
As long as you're here, I'd just as well try to get some use out of you. What did you think about the Teals?
None of them shout at us. I can't say the old daddy was any too friendly, though.
And old Harper's got a grudge against Rangers. Goes back to trouble with the carpetbag police after the war.
But those weren't real Rangers. We've come a long way since the days of the state police.
Harper Teal hasn't.
What about the McIntoshes?
Well, they're Yankees. Come here right after the war. Old man McIntosh once called out the state police against Harper. Even after all these years, neither family can put the war behind them. It's like an old friend they can't say goodbye to.
Any other folks around here?
Well, some take sides because of family ties or politics. The rest try to keep out of the way, and that ain't always easy.
The sheriff looked as if he'd bitten into a bad-tasting pill.
Did you say Lanny Teal is staying in town for the dance tonight?
That was his intention.
Well, that kid's asking for trouble. Somebody's always itching to try the Teal boys on for size.
It might be a good idea if I showed up at the dance myself.
I'll be there, too. Maybe if I'm lucky, I won't have to throw anybody into a cell tonight. Then I won't have to feed anybody breakfast in the morning.
We heard you lost a prisoner in that jail. A Teal brother-in-law.
Yeah, I got a false report of a shooting down in the south end of the county. Come dark, several masked men rushed in and got the drop on my deputy. They didn't even bother to take the prisoner out of his cell. They poured enough lead into him to sink a boat.
You figure it was the McIntoshes?
Well, Skeen was stealing from just about everybody. You could say that whoever killed him did the community a service. There wasn't but a few people at his funeral, and I didn't see anybody cry except his widow.
Too bad about her.
Yeah, I guess she still blames me. But what's done is done.
Seymour took off his glasses again, wet the tip of a finger on his tongue, then rubbed the lenses. He wiped them dry with a handkerchief.
As long as you're here, you just as well show yourself. You know, visit the saloons, set a spell on the spitting wheel benches. Let folks know there's a ranger in town.
Andy stood up.
I'll start now.
Yeah, one thing. You've got too friendly a face. Try to look a little mean.
I'll leave that to Daggett. It comes natural with him.
As Andy started toward the door, he was blocked by a middle-aged man wearing a wrinkled white suit.
Ranger Pickard, I want you to meet Judge Zachary.
The visitor removed a long black cigar from between a neatly brushed gray mustache and a spade beard. It was evident that he paid more attention to his beard than to his clothing. Dark eyes, almost black, focused on Andy, making him feel like a horse being examined by a potential buyer.
Ranger, eh? I didn't know you'd become desperate enough to send for a ranger, Pete.
I didn't send for him. He just showed up. There's another one out at the Teals.
The Teals? Oh, what have they done this time?
Nothing that we know of.
Andy explained about Daggett and the Brindle Bull.
Daggett? I have heard stories about him. Not all happy stories, I'm sad to say.
Well, they're probably way yonder exaggerated. You know how stories grow once enough people have told them.
Yeah, like the stories you hear about the Teals and the McIntoshes.
Yeah, but there is usually an element of truth behind them. They are all contentious people. How much more peaceful the county would be if one of the families left. Even better, both of them.
Well, they're not so bad, Judge. The boys, anyway. It's those two old sore-headed daddies that need a good butt-kicking.
And I've given it to them the times they appeared in my court.
Zachary gave Andy an intense study.
You seem an agreeable young man. How long have you been in the Ranger service?
Off and on, ever since my first shave. But it's my intention to retire before long. My wife wants me to stay home.
A commendable goal. Though a lifelong bachelor, I can appreciate how difficult it must be to try to maintain a decent family life when one is always on the move.
The judge has got him a nice little ranch outside of town.
Well, it is my refuge, my retreat from the daily humdrum of official duty. You must come out and visit me there sometime.
I'd be pleased.
Feel free to come to my office anytime you need anything from me, warrants, that sort of thing. I have great respect for the Rangers.
He glanced at Seymour.
And for county sheriffs, who too often go unappreciated and underpaid.
Andy and Seymour watched the judge leave, trailed by cigar smoke.
Now, he's a man to ride the river with. He's sharp-tongued and uses his court like a club against those who would disturb the peace, but he's held this county together for many a year.
I'll make it a point to get better acquainted. I don't think I'd want him against me.
Seated on a wooden bench across the dirt street from the general store, Andy watched a long-legged man in a white shirt and a loose string tie approaching him. He noticed ink stains on the man's hands. Most of all, he noticed the man's heavy mustache, which flared upwards at the ends.
I bet I could hang a bucket from either tip.
The stranger halted and gave Andy a critical study.
I understand you're a ranger.
I am.
I'm Jefferson T. Tolliver, editor of the local newspaper, The Clarion. Do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
Andy was hesitant, but decided this was one way to let everyone know of his presence.
I'll tell you what I know, which isn't much.
What brings you to this neglected corner of the Texas paradise?
Somebody sent us a letter asking us to come. They didn't sign it.
Tolliver looked around to be sure no one could overhear.
For good reason. They could get seriously hurt if it were known that they invited the Rangers.
By talking to me now in plain daylight, aren't you afraid you might raise suspicions about yourself?
People are used to seeing me interview visitors to town. Have you seen enough to appraise the local situation?
Well, I can see the problems. I don't know yet what to do about them.
You're the only ranger they sent?
There's one more, Logan Daggett. He got hurt along the way, so he's laid up out at the Teals Ranch.
Daggett!
Tolliver's eyes lit up.
I know that name. I would give my eye teeth to write a book about him. Do you think he would consent to an interview?
I doubt it. I haven't seen him consent to much of anything since I've known him.
So he's at the Teals, in the Lion's Den. One of the dens, at least. Do you know that Lanny Teal is across the street loading a wagon?
I rode into town with him.
I suspect the Teals are of Appalachian fighting stock. You may have noticed that they are all red-headed. It has only been a few generations since they left the cave and gave up stone in favor of iron. The McIntosh forebears came from the Scottish Highlands, and fighting is in their blood, too. It will be interesting to see which you have to shoot first. A Teal or a McIntosh?
Either way would make a story for your paper, wouldn't it?
I hope I may be able to write an eyewitness account.
And I hope to disappoint you.
A middle-aged man wearing a stained apron came out of the general store, carrying a heavy bag. He dropped it into the wagon bed. A slip of a girl stood on the porch. From the distance, Andy couldn't tell much about her except that her hair was a light brown, and she flashed a broad smile in Lanny's direction.
That is Lucy Babcock. Lanny's been sparking her, and so has Jake McIntosh. A perfect recipe for a knockdown drag-out fight.
Andy watched as Lanny turned to Lucy.
By loading up now, I can make an early start for home in the morning.
Don't forget, come for me about 7:30.
I'll be there with bells on.
And no drinking.
You know I don't drink. Hardly, ever, much.
Two young men stopped near Andy and watched the scene across the street. He thought they might be the two he saw on the trail, but he wasn't certain.
Look at that, would you? Lanny Teal shining up to Lucy.
Well, what could we do about it? Last time we jumped him, he'd like to have broke my jaw.
We'll tell Jake McIntosh. He's been trying to get under Lucy's dress for a good while.
Yeah, we could sell tickets to that fight.
Andy had pinned his badge to his shirt so it would be conspicuous. The ranger made a show of taking the fugitive book out of his pocket and flipping it open.
What are your names?
The two fell into startled silence.
Smith. We're both named Smith.
They walked briskly on down the street.
They lied to you about their names.
Yeah, I figured that.
One is Harold Percy. The other is Sonny Vernon. They'd like to be bad men, but I doubt they've done anything serious enough to be in your ranger book.
Any kin to the McIntosh family?
No, but they do some work now and then for the McIntoshes. They tag along after Jake like coon dog pups.
Two men emerged from a nearby saloon door, one of them the deputy, Salty Willis. He mounted his horse and rode away. The other man cupped his hands around a lighted match and touched the flame to a carelessly rolled cigarette. He walked up to Andy.
I am given to understand, sir, that you are a ranger. It would serve the community greatly if you were to knock those boys' heads together.
His tone indicated that he thought Andy should already have done it.
Well, I need a reason. You got one?
Nothing I can prove, but keep an eye on them. Sooner or later, they'll give you reason.
The cigarette appeared to bite the man's tongue.
Ugh. I suspect you are here to forestall trouble between the Teals and the McIntoshes.
Andy couldn't think of an appropriate reply, so he offered none.
Perhaps you should back off and let the parties fight. A few funerals might clear the air.
That's a hard way to look at it.
It could break the stranglehold a few big people have on state land around here. Then the little people would have a better chance.
They could buy it. That'd settle the matter for once and for all.
It takes money to buy land. The poor man can't afford it.
It won't be free forever. Texas is selling off pieces of it every day.
The man flicked ashes with the tip of a finger.
We'll burn that bridge when we get to it.
He turned and walked briskly toward Scanlon's wagon yard. Andy looked at Tolliver, his eyes asking.
Mason Gaines, the biggest blowhard and bellyacher in the county. Like so many, he wants something for nothing, and nothing comes free. One way or another, everything must be paid for.